You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Longform Conversations podcast from New York City. I'm Lauren Adams. I was the guest on the last episode, but surprise, today I'm the host. And my guest today is, hooray, Alex Song, who you improv fans may know from Lloyd Night. You also may have seen her on Maud Night if you're a sketch fan, and also the Wednesday Night Improv Jam. Guys, get out there and jam it. Hi.
Hi, Lauren.
Yay. I'm so glad to talk to you. We just met.
Yeah.
So this is very cool.
We just met. Well, so you almost definitely don't remember this probably, but we did an improv scene together once at the Lady Jam, right when it first started.
Do you remember what the scene was about?
I do.
Yes,
actually.
Tell me. This is awesome. This is cool.
Well, because I was already a big fan. You were on Harold Night.
Oh,
I was just like coming up. Yeah. It was, I forget what the suggestion was. It was probably like bacon related, because I think you initiated with something about like sizzling.
Ooh.
And I completely derailed it right off the bat with, oh, I thought you said scissoring, so that's what it became.
Great. I do remember this scene.
Do you really?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, wow.
That was the only Lady Jam I've been a jam host of, so it's very much burned. And I do believe we ended the show with Shannon O'Neill having sex with a rabbit of some kind or a pig.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't either. But it was, something happened. But pig makes more sense if it was bacon related.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It might have been pig.
That.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
This is awesome. I'm excited to be able to talk to you. So, give me a little background. You know, tell the folks at home where you're really from. We're here in America. Tell them the truth.
Yeah. No, I just had to admit to you right before we started recording that I'm not an American citizen. I was born in Canada.
Yay.
Yeah.
All the healthcare you can want.
Yeah. And now I got to pay for it.
But you moved here pretty much, you spent your whole life in the States.
Yeah. I was born in Toronto and I lived in like the suburbs there until I was 8. And then I moved to New Jersey and like mostly grew up there.
Now, a lot of movies film in Toronto when they're pretending to be New York City.
Oh, that's
so
true.
You probably just felt like you were right at home the whole time.
Yeah, it was exactly the same.
Awesome. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, you went to NYU, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have been in New York for kind of a while. So talk to us a little bit about doing comedy at NYU and sort of how you got started and how the bug bit you.
Oh, totally. So I moved to New York in 2011 when I started NYU. And about a week in, I convinced me and my two freshman roommates to come to ASCAT with me. Actually, I think the first show we saw was Couple Skate, because it was like a Saturday night and the options were like Death by Ruru or Couple Skate at midnight, and the second show was $5 cheaper, so I went to that instead. And then the week after, we just started going to like ASCAT every week. And then like 6 months later, my freshman spring at NYU was when I started taking classes at UCB.
Wow, while you were in college.
Yeah. Well, so I took a lot of time off of school, actually. Mm-hmm. So did a freshman fall semester at NYU, and by the spring, like, took a leave of absence and started taking, like, improv classes and
cool stuff.
Yeah. And then when I went back to school the next fall was when I, like, auditioned for, like, the NYU teams, the improv team Danger Box and the sketch team Hammercats. Yeah.
Well-known NYU sketch team.
Yeah.
I've heard of it just because a lot of people who end up doing UCB stuff
totally
come through both of those groups.
Yeah.
So.
And Hammercats is really on fire lately with with
Rachel
Bloom winning a Golden Globe.
Noted Hammercat Rachel Bloom and UCB student. And
501 classmate of mine. 601 classmate of mine. Yeah, she's the greatest.
That's very cool.
So great. So then you started taking UCB classes, and how was your scheduling of classes? Like, did you click through them quickly? Did you take your time with it? Savor them? How did it go?
Oh yeah, I went like back to back with them. Yeah. Like 101 through 401. I think I went finished them from like February to by like November. I was done in like 2012.
What kind of student do you think you were?
In improv classes?
Yeah.
Oh, I had forgotten until recently when I, like, retook a class with a teacher that I had for 201. Like, I took her advanced class, and she reminded me that I used to be, like, the student who would take notes in class. Like, I think through all the core levels, I had a notebook and took notes every single session.
Yeah. I took notes.
Yeah.
I understand that. And then you would go home, and would your notes make sense to you when you got home?
I don't think I ever looked at them again. Did you look at your notes again?
I still have the notebooks.
Yeah.
But I'd have to go dig it up, and it would probably be really interesting because, like, what would I write down notes of scenes that I don't remember the suggestion to?
Oh, yeah.
So I would just have these weird, like, half premises.
Oh, it would be, like, you would write down what the scenes were about?
Yeah.
That's cool. I think I would mostly write down, like little like pearls of wisdom that the teacher would share. Like there's just like a page in a notebook that says, use the whole buffalo.
Yeah, that's good. Do you know what teacher said that?
I think that was Kate Riley quoting Winston Knoll.
It's like a weird phone telephone game.
Yeah.
By the time it gets to you. That's really, really funny.
Yeah.
So when you were a student, did you have any teachers that you that really changed improv for you or that you felt were especially hard or that just sort of that you took multiple times? Like, what was your teacher connection like?
Well, Kate Riley was, I think, the first teacher that kind of like made me feel like maybe I was good at this. And then, like, I'd had her for 201. And then about a year later, she also, like, I think I reached out to her of asking, like, oh, would you, like, be my comedy mentor, in a sense?
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's a cool, bold move.
Yeah. And she said, yeah. And we, like, met up and got coffee a couple times just to check in with, like, what I was working on and, like, what I wanted to do next. And then, actually, Michael Caine started this program about a year ago, the UCB Allies program.
Yes, which is so awesome. Talk a little bit about that. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah, totally. So Michael Caine, I think it's independent of UCB.
Yeah.
But he'll basically ask teachers and performers for recommendations of advanced students or students who are just coming up who happen to be considered diverse, which I guess in comedy is anyone who's not a straight white male.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So I got asked if I wanted to be paired with a mentor or an ally in this program. I think in the inaugural class of it, it was like 12 of us.
Cool.
And I got paired with Michael Delaney, which was very intimidating, but very, you know, he's just the guru of the school.
Yeah. Did you ever take class from him?
I took a sketch class with him, yeah, but never an improv class. Yeah.
Who was... And then don't feel pressure, but who was the hardest or scariest or most challenging teacher you had for whatever reason?
Coming up, I think it was Kevin Hines for 401, which he's actually coaching my Lloyd team big time right now. And I don't think I ever, like, told him how scared I was of him.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
So what about him made it scary?
I think just, like, having heard, you know, through the grapevine of, like, oh, which teacher should we take? And Kevin was always like, oh, if you want to get ripped apart with notes, take Kevin.
Isn't it funny how at some point in our student careers you want that? You're like, I just want the hard notes. I want them.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, he's not even as terrible as those rumors would have made to seem.
Wait. Don't take away Kevin Hines' street cred.
Oh,
okay?
Sorry. if you want to cry every night, please take Kevin.
That's so great. Okay, so you go through classes, and then do you start auditioning for house teams right away? Or
I did, yeah. So I started in my first audition was in 2013. Mm-hmm. I think I auditioned four times before I got on a team.
Same here.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Were any of those, like, was it 4 years for you? Or
no, some of them, I think it was maybe five, but some of them were, like, invited in the middle.
Right, same,
was that four
same.
Years, same. So it wasn't 4 years, but just four audition
right.
opportunities.
Yeah, totally. It was like one open audition that I did not get a callback from, mm-hmm. and then an invite 6 months later. Then an open audition with a callback, but ended right there. And then, like, the next year at the open auditions, I got
on. You got on.
Yeah.
Okay. And so talk about what it feels like to go from student to Lloyd Knight performer and sort mm-hmm. of the, how you transitioned between those two mm-hmm. identities that you have.
It was interesting because in the interim, like, in between student to house performer, I got on Mod Night first as mm-hmm. a writer.
Same.
Did you really?
What's happening
Whoa.
Here? Yes.
wait, were you also a writer?
Mm-mm, I was an actor.
Right, but, that's what I yeah. had remembered. Yeah, that's cool. Had you also, did you audition for Mod?
I did once, but did not get on from auditions. Uh-huh. I got on in like a middle of the run thing.
Same, yeah.
We're like UCB twins.
Wow,
this is
yeah.
insane. This podcast is going to be over because we're just going to go on a date.
Yeah.
so you got on Mod.
Right. So I think it was right before another round of like open auditions in 2014 mm-hmm. For improv. And so I had signed up for a Nate Dern ASH class. It was like a 4-week class. And then literally the day after the class ended on a Friday. And the Saturday after, I got a call from Nate asking if I wanted to join Mod Night as a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was so exciting. And but I remember it's like the pettiest thing, but he put on someone else that I was friends with the very same day on Lloyd Night. And part of me was like,
you were jealous?
Yeah. Like, I took Nate's improv class. Why doesn't he think of me as a performer?
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah. This, like, great thing of, like, what a privilege to write for Mod Night.
Yeah. And also, yeah. one could argue that, you know, not that Harold Knight is not useful for you as a like, in a career move, because it definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
But to think that, like, writing stuff definitely is much more of a boon in terms of, like, you getting staffed on a show or you getting, to sell something or write your own TV show. So it's, like, so funny how these
right.
little ego things
yeah.
click in.
Yeah, well, I think it is all, Harold and getting on an improv team is so much more of, like, recognition by the community.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, career-wise, I do think it's the general wisdom that, like, Mod Night is probably more conducive towards, like, getting those reps in of writing and acting.
It's definitely just the exact same thing as the job you want to get, just in a smaller form,
right,
you know?
Yeah, whereas improv, it isn't quite that.
But we love it. So you've been on Mod, and then mm-hmm. do you remember getting your call about Lloyd Night?
Yes. So the audition that I got on was under Shannon, and I think it was the first one with a second round of callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an open round of auditions, which were just like the 2-minute scenes
yeah.
or 2-person scenes. And then a first callback, which was a Harold, and then a second callback, which by the time we were doing that, like, was pretty grueling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that second one's a Harold too.
Yes. Also a Harold, but with a different group of people. Yeah. I really did feel like I nailed that second Harold, though. Second callback. Yeah. I think by that audition, it was the one where I was like, I don't give a fuck.
That's exactly
what I just said. Yeah.
That's where you have to get. So talk a little bit about that, about, like, the headspace you were in that you think helped
yeah.
you to get on a team.
Yeah. Well, for every audition before that, I was definitely super nervous and wanted it so bad that, like, I would create, like, little superstitions in my head of, like, oh, if I don't cross the street before, like, the hand starts flashing, that means I won't get on a team. Like, things that were completely unrelated
just,
to improv.
You were just making yourself crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the word for that.
just playing mind games mm-hmm, with yourself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then by the time of the audition that I did get on, I was on, like, an upswing of, like, improv and improv confidence. Mm-hmm. And also before every round of that audition would only listen to All Star by Smash Mouth.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that was
That's
like my
incredible
pump up
intel that you were listening to All Star by Smash Mouth. On repeat?
On single play repeat.
Exclusively
yeah,
Smash
just
Mouth.
That one song.
Can you still listen to it?
I do, and it still makes me feel great.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's so great. Yeah. So you're in this headspace of just feeling a little like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and definitely felt like maybe like the two-person scenes and then the first Harold mm-hmm. I did were like maybe a little wonky, but still like I had done it, done improv for long enough that like even if it wasn't stellar, it was still like, oh, okay, I followed the rules of improv.
Solid. Yeah. Yeah.
But the second callback, yeah, it was just like, I think my scene was about like jizzing or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Classic.
Just a classic get on a house team
jizz scene.
Jizz scene.
That's always the yeah. one that gets you on.
Yeah.
But you probably, it was probably an awesome scene.
I don't know. I had a great scene partner as well. It was
Good.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Did your scene partner get on a team too?
Yes.
Who
yeah.
was it? Can you say?
It was Bill DePiro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who's now on Harold Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That jizz scene, that classic jizz scene.
Too much jizz, I think, was the game.
Yes. What a classic game. That's in all the books. Yeah. Too much jizz. That's so funny. Okay. So did you find, because you've already, you know, you'd already been on a house team with mm-hmm. Maude Knight, and you've been performing with indie teams before Lloyd Knight?
Yeah. I was on, I think I was on a bunch of indie teams, but the one I think that was the most formative was I was on a team called Multiball, mm-hmm. And that was with it was six of us. It was Mark Vigent, Betsy Kenny, Ian Stroud, Dan
people.
Fox, and Matt
good
Zapp.
People.
Yeah,
great people.
Great people. And our whole MO was like trying to bring back the like. The like weirdness of like the parentheses class and mm-hmm. just like experimental type stuff, and we didn't always nail it. We like failed pretty hard sometimes, but we had JD Amato as a coach, and he actually coached us for free.
Cool
which I don't know
move.
If I should be like adverted.
He doesn't yeah. anymore. People, he costs money.
Yeah,
but
he
cool
costs
move.
Money.
He costs a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
cool
yeah.
move.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool of and like had us do all this crazy like. Like outside of practice stuff of like we had to go do a completely new thing in our lives 1 week and like one of us like did acid, one of us like got drunk and went to an AA meeting, and then we also like took turns teaching all our teammates a different thing every
wow.
week. There was one time where we had to go in character into Madison Square Park and interact with strangers.
Very immersive stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think so? In the timeline of, like, your formal UCB education and then this acid-infused education to Lloyd Knight, do you think that that sort of shaped how you were playing? Maybe a little less safe, maybe a little less safe and by the rules? Maybe it's not
I
the notebook
so.
Girl so much, but it's the
yeah.
other one?
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah. I do still kind of self-identify as, like, a ninja robot player.
Yeah.
I think I've always wanted to be more of a pirate, but in terms of the whole, like, robot, pirate, ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel like, I feel like it's so directly related to, like, how confident I'm feeling both mm-hmm. inside and outside of
yeah.
improv. Yeah, of, like, when I'm feeling good, it will be, like, that, like, looser, like, not so much worried about, like, what's the next game move.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
That's very cool. All right, so when you get on Lloyd Knight, and on Lloyd Knight now, do you think that you are fulfilling that, like, ninja robot thing? Or do you, and are you doing that to like, you know, have successful shows with your team? Or are you trying to lean more pirate when mm-hmm. you're doing Harold's on Lloyd Knight?
I do think I'm still kind of fulfilling like the ninja robot mm-hmm. Role. Although what I like about Big Time, I was like talking to one of my teammates recently about like, I don't think as a team we necessarily have like divvied up like, oh, you always do this and you are like the designated straight man or whatever. I think we all have like a pretty solid voice as a team, which
That's
I'm
cool.
a fan of. Yeah, like Nicole Dressbell coached us for a long time.
She's good.
She's great. Yeah, and she immediately labeled our team's voice as a cute but sad.
Yeah, the perfect combo for yeah. comedy. Cute but sad.
Yeah,
I like that. I would like to see cute but sad. All right, so you know, Lloyd Knight, you're doing lots of heralds.
Yeah,
you're doing
lots of heralds. Pattern games. A lot of pattern games. Almost a full year of pattern games.
Well, you like it? You like the pattern game?
I do. Well, I've never been on a regular herald performing team that did anything but.
But you learned in classes other openings.
Yeah.
I feel like some people love pattern game and some people despise pattern game. So you fall in the you're cool with it.
Yeah, just somewhere in the middle of like. I wouldn't say I love it.
But you appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that's a good word.
And so what's your pattern game philosophy? Like, what do you mm-hmm. think is the way you like to approach pattern game mm-hmm. and what is the way that you like to see pattern game mm-hmm. performed?
Well, I also took a class called The Machine mm-hmm. ASP with Will Hines a couple years ago, and that was solely focused on, like, pattern game heralds. And having the most efficient pattern game. So I think from that, I really love like just a concise pattern game of like, oh, now we're A to C-ing words. Now we're pitching premises. Or also what I loved about that class was that Will really like drove home that you should only like pitch one premise and then you shouldn't be pitching like competing premises to like confuse it. So as long as one person has pitched the premise, everybody else is, like, supporting and clarifying that.
You have a pitch meeting on that premise. You're going to pitch stuff for that premise.
Yeah.
I like that. Feels way smoother, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you have a pattern game preference?
I subscribe to the same theory that you just said, that Will Hines sort of, like, rather than pitching my funnier idea, if you say, you know, Werewolf Chef, mm-hmm. pitching my funnier idea of like Werewolf Babysitter, but that we pitch on Werewolf Chef or whatever, that we riff off Werewolf Chef because, you know, that's the thing.
Right. And then initiating, no one's confused about if we're doing Werewolf Chef or Werewolf
Babysitter, which, you know, I would love to see both.
We'd love to see both.
But we said Werewolf Chef first. Yeah, that's definitely how I subscribe. Yeah. Do you have a dream opening that you're like, when I get on Herald Night, I can't wait to do X because?
The first time I saw it, I did not like it, but The Invocation.
Yeah.
I think just from loving Sandino mm-hmm. More than any improv I've ever loved. I think I'd like to do The Invocation for a little
bit. That's the one. That's like the one you're like, you've got your eye on.
I think so, yeah. Did you have a favorite?
I like Invocation a lot, too. Uh-huh. People are going to hate me. I like Pattern Game.
Oh, wow.
I really love the Pattern Game. I love Pattern
Game.
Hot take. Do you coach at all?
I do.
I think the meanest thing I do is I force them to get good at Pattern Game.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's a good tool when I coach. When you coach, what's the meanest thing you do when you coach?
Oh, man. I think my whole deal as a coach is that I try to not be mean to
them. Or not just mean, but hard. What's like hard thing that you make your...
I think I'm real big on everybody supporting each other as teammates.
And, yeah.
Yeah, coming together as a team. Like, I remember, I don't know if that's necessarily like a harsh thing, but I remember... like listening to an episode of this podcast, like an earlier iteration of it, and I think Nicole was talking about like maybe Gethard, but somebody who is big on like making everybody hang out after. And I remember one of the first teams that I was coaching regularly, I like hung out with them after, and at first was like, oh, am I crossing some like coach boundary of like should I not try to be friends with them? But I think it was good.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's awesome. Are there any exercises that you were given when you were coached that you've mm-hmm. really held on to just in terms of how they've how they forced you to play, or did they influence how you play now? And yeah. Are you using any of those when you coach?
Mm-hmm. I think it was from a JD practice that he had us do breakup scenes. And I still really like having people do those.
Just like grounded, honest breakup scenes without playing comedy.
Right. And also having them emote more from those. Yeah. It's funny. I'm actually in an ASP right now with Nicole called The Breakup.
Yeah.
And she also does it as a show sometimes at The Beast. Yeah. But I think they're kind of two separate things because Nicole really is focusing on a form with that as well. But yeah, I just love the heightened emotions and the really caring about each other part of a breakup of you are breaking up, but you loved each other.
Yeah,
at
because
one point.
You have this whole past with this person, which is very important to an improv scene to remember that we didn't start when we started. We have this whole past.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. So do you think you're more of an emotion? Do you play grounded, emotional? Do you how do you think? What do you if you were to give Alex is a player who plays. What is it? What is your?
This isn't necessarily what I want to be, but I think what I am is I'm a game player who also will come in and give a very quotable line and nothing else.
She says her catchphrase. She plays game.
I'm big on catchphrases.
But so what? When you said this is not the player I want to be. What's the player you want to be?
Yeah, the player I want to be is the one that will commit 1,000% to a scene and be completely emotionally invested. That's the biggest note I've been getting from Kevin for our Lloyd practices recently too, is I kind of reset back to neutral when I'm trying to think of the next game move rather than
staying in it and living in it. So what sorts of things do you do to try to combat that, and what are the moves you're making to try to make yourself that sort of ideal player that you want to be?
Oh, man, I think I'm in the middle of it right now, so I'm not sure if I'm doing enough to go in that direction.
I bet you are.
Because it has been interesting on Lloyd of I did get the validation that I'm, good enough at what I do to keep doing it, but now work on that
stuff.
Yeah.
There's more. Yeah. Is there any moment that you can think of in the past, however many years, that you go, that you did it? Do you have a seminal moment where you're that's the player I'm aspiring to be? The glimmer of it, or when you felt super emotionally connected and stayed in it, whether it was in a rehearsal or at Lloyd Night or.
Yeah. I want to say I really loved being in Brandon Gardner's one of the iterations of his improvised play class.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was really helpful. Although even then, I remember there was one week where Brandon tried to get me to be the protagonist of the play, and I was in the first scene and then just didn't come back for three more scenes, and eliminated myself from being able to be the main character. But yeah, I remember a note that a coach gave me once when I was in 201 or something was you got to learn to love the spotlight more. So I think that's something I'm still thinking about.
All right. Figuring out a way to put yourself in the center rather than just making moves on the piece as a whole?
Yeah, totally. And I guess, I over the years have learned that, maybe Nate was right. I am more of a writer.
Yeah.
I do feel, stronger at it, but...
You need those. You need those types on teams.
Right.
And I also think it doesn't mean that you can't do that other thing.
Yeah, I do feel like I've gotten better at it over the years. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, is there a time that you remember being in an improv scene that you just, that it was so fun and funny and that you laughed so hard, or was there any moment where just the emotion of the scene took over and you couldn't continue, or it was so funny that you were laughing or breaking or...
Wait, breaking, or it was so funny that I couldn't commit to the scene?
Yeah.
I feel like that's more often than
not. So you are a breaker.
I am a breaker. I hate that about myself. I don't know. Are you super good at committing
to the
scene? I try,
but I still break.
Do you have a secret of how to stay committed and not break in a scene?
I think just, I said this on the last podcast, but I think you just lean into the emotion, but I think there's no hard and fast rule.
Yeah.
Do you have any tricks that you use?
No, that's what I'm looking for right now. I had a team I was coaching ask me, like, oh, I feel like I'm break, like they felt like they were breaking all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just had them like do an exercise where like the scene was over every time someone like in the scene or on the back line broke. But I'm not sure how effective that was because eventually it was two lines into everything.
Every scene was gone, yeah. gone.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Hines is a good coach for that.
He is. Yeah. He's been calling like the whole team, but me especially out a lot on breaking. Yeah.
So what do you think is next for you? Do you think like you aspire to be a teacher, et cetera, et cetera? Like what when you look down your improv road, what's next on the journey?
Well, I guess there is the big looming thing of like shakeups are soon. But I think along with like that feeling from a year ago when I did get on a team of not super caring.
Yeah.
I think I'm still somewhere along there of like, oh, yeah, it'd be a bummer to not get to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Or to not, you know, move on to the Herald or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I've had such a great time being on Lloyd and, like, getting to do it every other week that I wouldn't mind if that happened.
Yeah.
But I would be super psyched to, like, keep going down the like, improv road at UCB and, like, get to teach or something.
I feel like that's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
I feel like you are perfectly detached in a way where you – I don't know. I think that that's the sweet spot of, like, being just – just the right amount of detached from it where it's, like, not going to end you.
Yeah. Whereas I think it totally would have, like, 2 years ago, like, not getting a callback or not getting on a team but having gotten close, like, would wreck me for months.
And you talked about earlier that, like, your level of confidence influences how you play, and I think that plays right into that, where it's like you feel confident. That's why you feel detached, because you feel confident.
Maybe, yeah, which is such a strange, like, I've been trying to find a phrasing for it of, like, detached or, like, because it's not quite not caring.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but it is, like, it feels similar to that, I guess. I do still super care about, like, UCB is, like, my whole world sometimes,
But it is that, like, perfect sweet spot of, like, feeling confident enough that you don't feel, like, so overwhelmed by it that it's not going to wreck you like it would have a few years ago.
Yeah.
Do you think that comes with time? Do you think that comes with you just get it? What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think that is? Do you think it's...
Oh, I totally think it's time, because I think it's also super cool and I don't know if it's, like, essential, but to go through the process, the point where you do care about it so much that, like, it would affect you that much, of, like, going through the time when you're nerding out as a student and, like, know every single Herald player and, like, I remember, like seeing them as rock stars. Like, not knowing how to approach them.
Like, you would see someone on Herald night when you were out in public and you, like, do a thing where you, like, recognize them and you're like, oh, there's so-and-so.
Oh, yeah, like a celebrity sighting.
Yeah. Do you have any weird interactions with people when you were a student that you nerded out with them when you ran into them or anything like
that? Yeah, I think more than once. But one that's sticking out right now is, like, I still don't really know him, so it's probably weird, but
this is gonna be great. Now you're gonna be friends after this.
I hope so.
Who is it?
I just one time ran into Tim Martin on the subway and was like, hi, do you perform at the UCB? And he, like, humored me and talked to me for, like, two stops.
Oh, like, that's great. What level were you in?
Probably 201 or 301.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so you nerded out with Tim Martin, and he was a gentleman.
He was.
He is a gentleman.
Yeah.
That's very cool. That's so interesting to think about it. And then when you get here, do you notice students that the same thing sort of happens to you, that students are sort of like, oh, my gosh, that's Alex. She's on Lloyd night.
I don't know if I've gotten there yet, but I do sometimes feel bad because I think I've, like, reached a certain saturation point with, like, remembering people.
Yeah, I get that.
Which I feel really bad about.
Lot.
Yeah. Especially, I guess, because, like, if I haven't seen them beyond, like, the one time we've interacted, and they'll, like, Yeah, I don't know.
You just remember, like, you, when you were a student, would never have expected that level of remembering. So then you can,
sure,
they
yeah.
can pass it along.
yeah.
Everyone's feeling good yeah. and chill and cool about
yeah.
it.
Although sometimes on the subway, I still recognize people who I've seen, like, at jams or something.
Yeah.
And am, like, slightly secretly offended that they haven't recognized me. I'm like, no, I saw you one time at the jam.
Are you mad I didn't remember our scene? I did when you reminded me of it.
No, not at all.
It got tense in here, guys. It got real tense.
She's sharpening
a knife.
I do want to talk to you later.
All right, well, let's talk about other terrible things. Like, things
okay.
that, what's, like, your number one improv pet peeve?
Oh, okay.
Or two or three. If you've got three pet peeves, give them all
yeah.
to me.
I think it's hard to come up with a number one. I don't like when people edit their own line.
Yeah.
What
is it about that specifically? I get it, but
I get it. Also, like, I've also have felt it out of necessity while I've been in the scene, but haven't, like, acted on it.
Yeah. So talk to me. Why is that the thing that makes you go, like, ugh?
Well, especially also when there was a huge laugh line right before, and then the player who edits feels the need to, like, add one more line in.
And then edit. do you think people do that just so they're getting the last word? Do you think it's a panic move? Where do you think that comes from, generally?
I'm not sure. I feel like, well, there's a whole bunch of, like, improv etiquette things that you, like, either learn or don't learn mm-hmm. in the core classes. And I'm, like, kind of on the fence about how essential those are, because I
yeah.
do feel like there are points where, like, you can break them and it's fine, of, like, the rule of, like, whoever steps out first speaks first and
yeah.
all that stuff. But in terms of the, like, editing on your own line, I think I don't know, it just kind of seems like you're high-fiving yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
I did it.
This is done. I said that.
Yeah.
This is finished.
Yeah.
Any other huge red flags for improvising with you just for the next time we jam?
Yeah. even that last one, I'm like, don't feel strongly enough about it to be like, oh, yeah, that's Alex Song's number one pet peeve. It's just the first thing that came to mind.
Alex Song, easy to improvise with, easy to host a podcast with. She doesn't care about much.
I don't care.
You're very chill. It's very cool. I'm very impressed.
I don't care, but I do care.
What are your loves? What,
ooh, okay.
What are your number one loves?
I love.
And list as many as you have.
Uh-huh. This is less to do with scene work, but I love being the one in a pattern game to say the penultimate word before we, like, like the word that brings
gets
us
you to the scene.
To
the suggestion. This,
yeah,
the scene
yeah.
that gets you to the suggestion.
And for a while I was, like a kind of against that. Like, I was a big fan of, like, okay, we've pitched the idea. We've, like, riffed on it a bit. Let's just go straight back to the suggestion.
Yeah.
We don't need a middle word. And then the rule came back of, like, oh, no, the pattern game we teach in 301 is that you need that middle word. And
yeah.
now I'm a huge fan of that word.
So do you find yourself looking to find that connection?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is, you would argue, is good for Harold, too, because
mm-hmm.
you want
oh,
that connection.
Oh, that's interesting,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, somebody once said to me that, like, comedy is all about, like, finding connections and things. And I think I'm a big fan of that. Not necessarily, like, Connection Island and Third Beats or
yeah.
anything, but just, like, finding that surprising way that,
that it
yeah.
organically happens. It's
yeah.
interesting that Delaney was sort of your mentor
mm-hmm.
because I feel like that's one thing that he really, at least when I was his student, really talked mm-hmm. about was the connectivity of all of it.
Yeah.
When Harold is perfect, it's like
oh,
you do
yeah.
get those perfect
totally.
Concentric
yeah.
circles. So,
what class did you have him for?
500.
Oh, nice.
It was hard. He
yeah.
was my Kevin Hines, where everyone was like, Delaney's
yeah.
impossible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it got so oversold that while I did think he was super challenging and I felt like crap a lot of the time in a good way,
yeah.
I didn't think he was as bad as everyone made him
okay.
seem. I never cried.
Yeah.
Maybe he would not like to hear that now. Maybe he wishes he made me cry.
Yeah,
no,
we don't
want
to ruin Delaney's street cred.
Street cred. Delaney is mean. He's the best.
Yeah.
And so you do Harold's on Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, you know, your ultimate opening. When you're not doing a Harold, what's the form? What's the form that you are jonesing
okay.
to do?
Yeah. So when Multiball was still, like, regularly practicing and mm-hmm. performing, we were big on doing that, like, super organic set of, like, not even knowing, like, not just, like, we didn't do organic openings and like, a sound and movement, but
mm-hmm.
we just, like, we would have sets that were like kind of storytelling, or we would have sets that turned into us just playing ourselves in the audience of that show.
Cool.
I think that was one of my favorite shows we did.
So you like sort of organic. That's what I would call organic.
Well, actually,
where it's everything.
Yeah.
It's all on the table.
Right. Like you don't know until after you've gotten your suggestion and have all kind of checked in with each other.
Yeah.
Until you don't know.
And then you don't even technically know throughout the course of the show because it is always changing and forming.
Right. And that's why we would fail so hard sometimes. It never came together.
But don't you think it's those kinds of cool things that make... Like, when it works, it's so cool.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, you can't get as high as that, but you also can't get quite as low. I actually haven't done that kind of improv in a long time, though. I feel like I have just been doing, like, Pattern Game Heralds for a while. Yeah.
I mean, when you are on Lloyd Night, that's what you do because you have a show and you also have a practice. So it's, like, a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
You're getting really good at it.
Well, I hope so.
Congrats. All right. So you're looking back at Alex... 101 notebook, ready to roll, first day of 101. What's the advice you have for her? What's the sage advice you have for the new improviser who's coming up?
Take your time. Don't be in such a hurry. I feel like I do meet students now too that like will like come up to me and like it's so super cool how enthusiastic they are about everything, but just to be so worried about already being on a practice group or having finished 301 already of like I did feel like I was in like a self-imposed race to like finish all the classes, and like someone who was in 401 when I was in 301 I felt like there was some weird status or hierarchy, but there really isn't.
Yeah.
Like you're all still just in class, and like even now, of like there, I feel like the whole community can feel like there's like a hierarchy to things. But we're all just people.
That's very cool because I feel like the system can be intimidating to people. I
know
it definitely
totally.
Was for me when I first started, and it is sort of like what we were talking about before about like that detached sort of like chill. It's like you can. It doesn't have to be everything at once because it also is frustrating when, like, you and I both are, like, a five-time auditionee kind of takes a long time to get on a team.
Yeah.
And some people come through and you watch them get on immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Like, those people were, like, the bane of my existence of, like, oh, why can't I be that person? I wanted to be that person.
And you think if you do it faster that it gets you there.
Right,
but that's not your journey.
Yeah, and I also do feel like I definitely got on a time when I was ready of, like, I'm sure I would have... Because when I got on Mod, I don't think I was ready yet to be, like, a writer on a house team. Like, it was a lot of work, and every... meeting, I just felt so in over my head of it. Like, everyone was, like, slightly older than me. And, like, also, I loved my first team so much. It was, Ripley was my first mod team. And they made me feel so welcome. And I feel like by the end, like, we all really got along as friends. But I definitely felt so in over my head in the beginning and, like, almost, like, dreaded meetings. And, like, because I would know that I just, like, felt like a fraud the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you got on Lloyd, you felt like, oh, this is – the time is right.
Yeah. And it was also my Lloyd team was, like, all eight of us were new.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Ripley, I got put on mid-round in that and everybody had already been on for a while.
And their experience is just different than yours. There's no one to relate to sort of on that
level. Yeah, and a lot of them were people who were also on Harold, like Carrie McCrossin, who was just on an episode.
Yeah, she's like four episodes before this, guys. If you haven't listened, you're doing it wrong.
But yeah, it was like a bunch of great people that I had like... a lot of them I had been coached by. Definitely saw them all the time on Harold Night, but it was... crazy to then get to call them like teammates and then like write words for them to say.
Yeah. Okay. So we're wrapping up soon, but I want to ask this. If you can put together a dream team for yourself to play with.
Oh, man.
And you can pick a whole team. If you want to say, I want everyone from the swarm, you can take those people. Or you can pick, you put together your dream team to do a Herald with. So I want you to pick eight people. You're one. So you could pick seven people.
Okay, wow.
That you get to do a Herald with. And they don't even have to be alive if you want Del Close in there.
Whoa. That's so, That's so many people I could choose from.
So you got to go quickly, though, because we don't have that much time left in this episode.
First person that came to mind was Sebastian Canelli.
Great.
Funny. Yeah, very funny.
You don't even have to know them.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was in a...
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
In this game. So you've got Sebastian.
Okay, Sebastian. I would put Nicole Dressbell on there.
Great.
What a crazy game. I feel like I'm going to offend people. I'm also going to, like, give a compliment to someone that I'm not that close.
Yeah, that's great. They're going to love this.
Good. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Everyone's going to have to tune into this episode because we'll be like, who did she list?
Okay, so five more.
Yeah.
This is so hard.
This is the mean thing I do as a coach. No, I make people list. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I was really hoping for some good news.
I know. It's a bummer. That was buying you time. Did you think of anyone else?
No, I was too wrapped up in the bummer. Okay. You know, I would love to do another scene with you that's not about sizzling.
I made the team. Yeah, I feel out of pressure because I'm staring at her. I'm just giving her daggers.
Not at all.
We've still got four more.
Okay. Would love to. I've never done improv with Drew Johnston, but he used to direct one of my mod teams.
So good.
Yeah. Also saw him earlier today. I'll just name people I saw today. Who else? I feel like there's definitely people that I'm like, oh, that person.
What are you?
Chris Gethard and Connor Ratliff.
Great, Chris and Connor. You only have one more. You did that so quickly. Now this is the hard one because you only have one slot left. But don't overthink it because you've got a good team here.
Well, okay, so this is a person I don't know.
Yeah.
I would love to play with Lennon Parham.
Lennon, my 101 teacher.
That's
we
so
brought
cool.
this back. That's connectivity, baby.
There we go.
That's a close-up of our pattern game. That was so awesome. You have shows coming up. Oh, well, this will come out in March. Do you have anything you want to plug in March or April?
It's a big time on Lloyd Night every other Wednesday. The Traffic Jam. Improv Jam, the third and fourth Wednesdays at 11:15 at the Beast.
All at the Beast.
Yeah.
That's your home. You live there.
Yeah. Sometimes I sit in with the Terry Withers Mysteries.
Awesome show.
So much fun. I play Terry's son's girlfriend, played by Louis Vega. I play his girlfriend.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that was Long Form Conversation. Tune in next episode when Alex Song will be our host. Thanks so much, Alex. This was so much fun.
Thank you, Lauren.
Hanging with you.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy. This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.